While reading the Bible, have you ever thought, I wish I could have been one of Jesus's disciples? I've thought that at times. I'm reading scripture and how great it would have been. I could tell you it seems like a small thing, but one of the problems I would have with that is the attire. It's the cloak and the sandals. I don't wear sandals now. I always dress in a way where I'm ready for action. Maybe it's because I had my church shoes on at the top of the steps one day in my house, and they were slippery. And my wife doesn't like shoes in the house, and you can't wear shoes in the house, but I did this day, and I slipped and fell down the whole flight of steps. Maybe it's different things that have happened in my past that I preached a sermon once, and the title was, Don't Get Ready, Be Ready. But it seems like a small thing, but it's the attire. But if you really think about what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, what an honor. What a call. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We're going to continue where we left off. Luke chapter 6. I'll be reading out of the ESV. And we're going to read from verses 12 to 16. And I ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. It reads this way. In these days, he went out to the mountain to pray. And all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. Simeon, whose name was Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot. And Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Let's pray. Father, we come once again to hear you speak. As disciples, we learn, we follow, we do. Let us feel the full weight of your word as you speak to us this day. The Bible is your word, and you've given it to us, Lord, as a gift. So bless us this day. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The title of this morning's message is Modern Day Disciples. We read in this text that Jesus spent an entire night praying before he chose the 12 men he called to be his apostles. Now, I'm sure many of us pray and often awakened in the middle of the night, and I pray and I fall back to sleep, and sometimes that happens multiple times. But what this text says is that Jesus prayed the entire night. Why? Because he had a group of disciples that were following him. You remember when he sent out the 70. It wasn't only these 12 men. He had a large group that followed him. Group, he was choosing apostles, those that would be called to lay down the foundation of the church. They would go on to change the world. When Jesus would go back to heaven, it is these 12 and the other disciples that were used to spread the good news. One of the things that I noticed in reading this text is some of these names are very familiar with us. We know who they are, and other names we're like, oh, there were two Jameses, and there were two Judases, and Bartholomew? Like, what did he end up doing? Actually, their ministry touched every part of the earth. Tradition tells us they went to India and to Africa and to Asia and to Europe. They went everywhere. And not only did they touch every part of the earth, but they touched all generations. They are the very reason we sit here today. How did you come to know Jesus? You came to know Jesus because someone spoke to you. Someone told you. And they heard it because those that were called to be apostles told someone. We are connected to that very night when Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. Who will be my apostles? He prayed to the Father. An apostle is a messenger, one that is sent. Not just sent, but sent with authority, with a very specific mission. These 12 were given special authority to represent Jesus, to preach the kingdom, and to lay the foundation of the church. We find that in Ephesians 2:20. Jesus picked them from a larger group of the disciples that followed him. Who followed him? There were men and they were women, and we see them sprinkled throughout the gospel narratives. This group of disciples would also become disciple makers. Some of them quietly working from the first generation all the way till today. And many of them were women. I'm glad we are going to have a retreat and it's going to be all men. I'm happy about that. I would not like to live in a world where there are all men. Like, just consider that for a moment. Women, God's creation, is beautiful in so many different ways. So walking with Jesus were not only these 12 apostles, but other men and women. Actually, the Bible mentions several women that were disciples of Jesus. We have Mary Magdalene, who was a disciple of Jesus, one of his most devoted followers. She was there at the crucifixion, and she was there to witness the resurrection. What an honor. First off, to be there at the crucifixion meant when some were hiding or scared, her love and commitment was so deep that she was right there. And then you see Mary, the mother of Jesus, present throughout Jesus' whole life and ministry. She was there also at the crucifixion. She was also in the upper room after the resurrection. She was there from the beginning, the first to hear, "I'm bringing my son into the world, and I'm going to use you." We see Mary and Martha. We see other people that even supported Jesus' ministry financially, Joanna and Susanna. So there were many women besides just this group of men that were the 12. And guess what? Jesus going to prayer all night and seeking the Lord's face about who would be called to what was a divine strategy on the part of God. A strategy that was powerful. He positions each person uniquely. Today we explore how even mothers and fathers reflect Jesus's heart for discipleship as they influence the lives of those that God has called them to steward. Remember what the text says, and all night Jesus continued in prayer. There was a divine strategy set forth, and you were a part of it. We know that a disciple is a learner, a follower. So, is discipleship a matter of going to church, praying, and reading the Bible? Or is it a matter of doing things that affect others? Well, I'll give you the answer if you don't know. It's a matter of doing things that affect others. Where do I get that answer from? Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" It's a matter of doing. There are multiple verses in the Bible that Jesus said what a disciple actually is. It's much more than reading your Bible and praying and going to church. Those are the things to equip you, to keep you knowing God, close to God, intimate with God. And then because of who we are as his people, we do. Luke 9:23 says, "And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In other words, it's not about your agenda, but mine, and I'm sending you on mission. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." In other words, like Elder Frankie was speaking about, you cannot serve two masters. If I am not supreme in your life compared to the next affection that you have, you can't even be my disciple. He said, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." He also said, "So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." And finally, he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, obey all I commanded you. And behold, I'm not leaving you alone. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So, disciples are called not only to be disciples, but to make disciples. Well, what does that look like in the 21st century? See, I'm going to tell you so you don't have an excuse of why you should be one. It doesn't mean wearing a cloak, thank God. Wearing sandals, which I don't do, but if you do, hey, that's okay. Walking around following a rabbi. No, it doesn't mean those things. Not today. It does mean learning and growing in Christ. It does mean being a witness for the work that God has done in your life. You are a living testimony of the power of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the saving work of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That needs to be on display everywhere, in school, in the workplace, in the community. It's also being a godly dad. It's being a godly mom. One of the greatest opportunities to be a disciple maker is to be a mom, to be a grandma, to be a church mother. Moms are often the unsung heroes. Like, my kids are pretty good, but I've had to tell my sons, watch how you talk to your mother. And then I have to tell them as well, not only is that your mother, that is my woman. Watch how you talk to her. So it's one thing, man to man, us kind of talking to each other. It's like, listen, I'm still doing my push-ups. I still think if I have to give your 30-year-old butt a spanking, I might take a loss, but you're going to remember that I came for you. It's so different with moms, especially with boys, with the level of, I guess, even for husbands and others, where we just take it for granted. But what a beautiful thing it is as a parent, and especially a mom, and how God designed them to be disciple makers. You know where it starts? It starts in the same place that it started with Jesus. It starts on your knees. It begins in prayer. It says, one of those days, Jesus went up out on the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Before Jesus chose his apostles, he prayed. He sought the Father's will with deep intention. Likewise, moms, being disciple makers, begin to work in prayer. Always pray for your children. A praying mom is a powerful force. I had praying grandmothers, and I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but my praying grandmothers saw me saved before they went on to glory. The prayers of moms and grandmothers and church moms are powerful. Her
whispers at night. Maybe they don't make the headlines, but they reach God's ears. Praying protection over your children, over the children of the church, over your grandchildren is paramount. Actually, God uses that to strengthen parents' faith, because we're praying as we watch them oftentimes outside of the umbrella of protection of doing what's right. But we were once there, and someone was praying for us, and it didn't make headlines, but it reached God's ear. So it starts there. We see that with Lois and Eunice praying for Timothy and laying out the foundation for him in the Lord. We see that with Hannah praying for Samuel. Mothers do disciple making by intercession. It says, and Jesus continued in prayer to God all night. There was a divine strategy set forth. Don't forget that you're a part of it. Also, what we notice here is that God uses ordinary people. Look at those names that he used in the text. He didn't choose the most educated. He didn't choose the most respected. He chose fishermen. He chose tax collectors. He chose zealots, those that wanted to overthrow the foreign government that was there. He chose ordinary, regular people. Now, you may think you are extraordinary and you real fancy, but for us ordinary people, we thank God for that. Yet, those he chose change the world. And it's the reason why we sit here right now. Often the duties of moms and even the way they think of themselves is not like I'm doing great kingdom work. They feel ordinary. They're doing ordinary things. Sometimes they feel overwhelmed. Sometimes they feel invisible. But you know, one of the things that God demands in his work is humility. It's paramount. He actually does his most holy work through the humble. A mother could be folding laundry and singing worship songs. She could be going in and out from work to be able to pay the bills. She could be calming down a toddler. She could be speaking to her teen who's anxious and counseling that boy or girl with God's word. That is doing the work of a disciple maker. God used Mary, a girl from a nowhere place, a nobody, to raise the Savior. Not only to birth Jesus, but to nurture him the way a mother would nurture her child, and to raise him up into a man. That is amazing. Mothers really disciple through faithful presence. Being there. Being there. What a big deal it is just to be there. Often we don't feel like anything special is going on. But are you present? Discipleship is both intentional and relational. Jesus did not just teach his disciples. He was with them. He lived with them. He could have set it up a whole different way. Meet me at the temple at 2 o'clock, 4 times a week, including the Sabbath, so you can learn from me. That's not what he did. No, they left everything and they walked and lived with Jesus day in and day out. They saw everything, even him going off by himself to spend time in prayer. He was very intentional. He was relational. John laid on his bosom. He spent time with them alone from the crowds and just poured into their life, explained to them things that he said in public that they needed a deeper understanding on. Why? Because there was a strategy put in place. These were the people that were called to do a work and then be sent out. That's you. Although obviously Jesus and his apostles had an action-packed life. They had regular days. Like, we think sometimes like every day needs to be like some kind of movie. That's just not real. So, whether it's a car ride to school, whether it's around the dinner table, whether it's praying at bedtime, it matters. Out of all the things that I remember spending time with my daughter is when she first learned how to read. Every night, she and I, for a year, sat down and read Pilgrim's Progress. She's a great reader. Now that I think about that book being this thick and the language that is used, and she would read and I would read, that is some feat. But at the same time, it was intentional. It was relational. It mattered. And it was just an everyday habit. It was a simple thing. The impact of all of this is generational. The men Jesus told went on to disciple others. And that ripple effect continues to today. That's why we are sitting here. Mothers are sowing seeds in the hearts, and it's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear fruit. Sometimes we believe that we have this formula. I'm going to sow this kind of seed, and this is the fruit that's going to be produced, and this is how it's going to look. and we get disappointed. We were extremely intentional in raising our children. And we thought that we were going to raise brilliant, rich Christians. I digress. All night, Jesus continued in prayer to God. There was a divine strategy set forth, and you're a part of it. This generational impact. One day, your kids are going to marry or have a career, be in other churches. Your child may become a pastor or a missionary, a teacher, a witness on their job. Not in spite of you, but because of you, because of what you've done. Mother's disciple for the future. And don't forget who you were. So when things aren't turning out seemingly in present day the way you thought it was supposed to go, don't give up. Just think about these men that walk with Jesus. One minute he's telling Peter, that was not revelation you could have received anywhere but from heaven itself. And then he's telling Peter, the devil is using you right now. Satan, get behind me. One minute, Peter is telling him, I'll die with you. The next minute, not a soldier, not an official, a girl at a fire. Weren't you one of them? The guy who was swinging the sword missed the head and cut off the ear. I don't know the man. Don't give up. Jesus didn't give up on Peter. Matter of fact, once Jesus was gone, Paul had to correct Peter. In the midst of all of that, God was faithful. God will be faithful. God is always faithful. A mother's role in discipleship is practical, and yet is still spiritual. Come on up, worship team. Mothers are often are the ones who identify the giftings in their children. They see things that others may not see, and they nurture those gifts. And many times they don't get the credit for it. But God knows, God sees, God is at work, God is doing things for you and for them, things you cannot do for yourself or for your child. Mothers may not be listed amongst these apostles, but every one of them had a mother. Their names are written in the stories of faith and are still being told today. So mothers, as disciples, be disciple makers. Your late night prayers, they matter. You reading scripture to your child, young or old, it matters. Your tears matter. Your faithfulness is seen by God. And where we've come up short as parents, mothers and fathers, God has a grace for that. In the same way where we were not parented perfectly, some of us could be thinking about our own mothers and feeling like they didn't do a good job. But you're here. God has brought you through. God is faithful in every single way. You are a disciple and disciple makers. And your ministry begins with love. Your ministry continues in sacrifice, and it's going to be multiplied onto others. All night, Jesus continued in prayer to God. There was a divine strategy set forth, and you are a part of it. The children that you have, the grandchildren that you have, the spiritual children that you have is designed by God. Be a disciple maker. Even if you don't have any children, whether it's that's not what God had for you, adopt a child. We are all adopted. And I don't mean adopt a child, bring them into your home. I mean spiritually adopt a child. We are God's children by adoption. God uses women greatly. I have multiple women in this church that I consider my church mothers, that are always praying for me, that are dropping words of knowledge on me, that tell me what to watch out for. You don't know, you don't need to know, and I ain't gonna tell you. That's behind the scenes. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Would you stand, family, so that I could pray for you? Lord, I thank you for mothers. I thank you, Lord, that you've placed them in our lives. Lord, I ask that you would help them to see their sacred calling, that you would empower them to be disciples and disciple makers. Empower them with boldness. Empower them with compassion. Empower them with wisdom. May their prayers raise up the next generation of faithful followers. Lord, you called us to be disciples. You've called us to be discipled and to disciple others, followers and learners of Christ. Those who are reconciled by your blood and given the ministry of reconciliation, pleading with others, be reconciled to God. We thank you, Lord, that way back then you prayed all night. Who will I use in what way? And here we stand because of it. Help us, Lord, to do what you've called us to do as disciple makers. The Word of God tells us that we could be confident in this one thing, that he who started a good work in you will bring it into completion in the day of Christ Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to him the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all times, now and forever. In the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.